Welcome to a little thing we call Nashville Outsiders. My name is Tony Michaels, and on Skype with me right now is Leroy. Leroy, hello?
Hello. I feel like I'm officially a member of the world now. I'm a part of a podcast thingamabobber.
It's an exciting day for you, Leroy.
It really is.
Now, the reason why I thought of you immediately is that Rolling Stone released their top 500 albums of all time. I love clickbait. I love the fact that it's really long. It sparks controversy. And very little albums in the last 25 years, really. It was Lauryn Hill, Nirvana in the top 10. Aside from that, some age to it. But there was 11 country albums out of the top 500. And I immediately thought of Leroy when I saw Looky Here at number 419. It's Mr. Eric Church.
Yes. I am pleasantly surprised it's in the top 500. It should be, honestly, higher, but I think we have to take into account who we're talking about here. I mean, this is Rolling Stone. Their country knowledge base, whatever you want to call it, isn't exactly, you know, top of the bar. But the fact that it is on the list is a good thing. Some of the other country ones, like, I'm not so stoked about, but I don't know if we want to get into that or not. But Eric Church should definitely be higher on the list.
Because really, if there's any country artist that embodies that rock and roll spirit, it has to be Eric Church, right?
Well, absolutely. And plus, I mean, I might have mentioned this in a website post years ago, but I honestly think that Chief, which is the album that was at number 419 for those scoring at home, Chief is an album that has that song. You know, Garth talks about how he has friends in low places, and other artists have that one song that defines them and defines who they are as a performer. And Springsteen is a song that was the game changer for Eric Church. It's the highlight of that album, and it should be higher.
And as nothing else, for his time with Rascal Flatts on tour, on the Me and My Gang tour, where he got kicked off for playing too long and too loud, and started his own competing tour, the Me and Myself tour, in the same tour stop cities. That is about the most Rolling Stone move you can make.
Oh, yeah. It's the most rock and roll thing ever. Not to mention, I don't know if you were at the show, Omaha, actually technically Council Bluffs, Whiskey Roadhouse. That was a fun night. I mean, that was a fun night from what I remember.
And that's why when you look at the top 500, you will not find Rascal Flatts on that list.
You will not. Do you know, honestly, who else I was surprised was not on the list?
Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
He's only the biggest selling solo artist of all time. He's got more records sales-wise than anybody knows anything to do with, but somehow not on the list of greatest albums of all time.
I wonder if that's because, and this is just a theory, go out on a ledge with me here. I think Garth talks about Garth enough, and maybe Rolling Stone didn't feel the need to give him any more love.
That could definitely be a thing. I'm also kind of surprised at this list too, because this is, I believe, the third incarnation of this list. I think it's a very fluid thing, obviously, because it'll change over time. But certain songs took humongous jumps from the last version to the current one. Like you talked about The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, for example. The last time they did this, I think it was 2013. It was in the 300s.
Wow.
And it jumped all the way to like 14 or whatever it was this year, or 10 or whatever it was.
I think it was 10, yeah.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of big jumps, and I think a lot of the current climate of the world influenced a lot of different changes in the list as a whole. So there's a lot of change, but it's also interesting that, because you know me, I'm a big nerd. I love stats, and I'm fascinated by music and all this stuff. Okay, I'll just say it. My biggest beef on this list is Casey Musgraves at 270.
You don't think it should be 270?
Of all time?
I think if you look at it, we got to know what the rubric is for this list. If you look at it as artists that embody a Rolling Stone kind of vibe where they kind of do their own thing. I mean, Casey definitely shook up the world with their album, and it was so different. And that, I think, plays into this. Now, as we just discussed, Eric Church would be way higher than 419. But I kind of respect the fact that Casey Musgraves, and really for receiving very little country airplay, or any other airplay, if there's not like CHR stations that are playing Casey Musgraves.
True. Yeah. And I mean, it is a testament to her. And Golden Hour, it is an amazing album. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish it in any way, shape, or form. But of the beefs I have with this list, that one's pretty high.
Could we have a top album list of only country albums that maybe personify the Rolling Stone rock and roll atmosphere?
Ooh, that's an interesting... Well, here's the thing. Honestly, if we separate the Garth, you know, self-promotion aspect out of it, like we were talking about earlier, it seems easy to forget now, but back in the day when Garth was just coming out, he was getting a lot of the hate that some artists get now for being not country enough.
For example, I just had a conversation with someone who is not a country fan at all, but absolutely loves Thomas Rhett. And for this individual, Thomas Rhett was kind of like the gateway artist to get her into country music, where she discovered other artists like Brantley Gilbert and Kenny Chesney and those other ones that started with Thomas Rhett.
Right, and I think Garth was that gateway for a lot of folks back in the 90s and the early part of the 2000s, and he did bring a lot of rock and roll influence into country. Because, again, a lot of folks might not remember that prior to Garth, there was no big stadium shows. There was no big lighting setups. There was no video screens. There was no fire. There was no trapezes. There was no big production. I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but it was a George Strait concert before that. They stood in one place. They played the guitar. They had a spotlight. That was it. So if we're going to talk about the rock and roll influence in country music, you know, yes, you have to include Garth in that list. But you also have to go all the way back to guys like Johnny Cash, to Merle Haggard, things like that, which... why I have no beef with Johnny Cash being 164 on the list.
Yeah, and Johnny Cash, I think a lot of people that are strictly into rock and roll, even, you know, Nine Inch Nails had a collaboration with Johnny Cash. And yeah. Johnny Cash always kind of embodied what is cool, natural, authentic, and that alone, I think, would put him on the list.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to think that we can that Cash is considered a quote-unquote country artist when he was... realistically not playing country music back in the day. I mean, if you've seen, everybody's seen Walk the Line at this point. I mean, they were rock and roll tours. It wasn't a country tour. It was a bunch of artists that were trying to find their way. I mean, it was Elvis, it was Buddy Holly. It was a rock and roll tour, but we've kind of adopted Cash into the country world here as a later part of his career.
And if you want to take a world view at this whole list, I think it's starting to trend back towards just music being music. There's a lot of people, yes. I just had a dentist appointment. It's just like, I can't stand country. And then she named a couple of country artists. I'm like, well, you can stand it because you just named a couple of artists. And I think the world is becoming much more less about format and grouping, because maybe it's just the intermingling of different worlds, but we become a much more global listenership. And I think that kind of plays out in how people view music.
It is, and it's kind of a blessing and a curse, because there will always be the hardcore fundamentalists that country music is X, whatever X is for that individual person. But if you look at it over time, like all types of music, country has ebbs and flows where sometimes it's this. Like, you know, you go back to like the early 80s when it was all very, you know, almost disco influenced. You had guys like Kenny Rogers and stuff that were doing almost disco songs, basically, but they were country. All the way up through guys, you know, Garth influenced other artists or other genres in. And then you guys got like Florida Georgia Line, Thomas Rhett, Luke Bryan bringing other influences. There's always an ebb and flow. It's country has always been a kind of an arm, embrace everybody. We'll figure out what we like and what we don't. But we don't want to send anybody away saying, no, that's not us.
I tell you what, if we go back to disco country, I'm out.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's some of those songs from the late 70s, early 80s that are, I mean, they're, oh, hey, look, there's my phone. they're definitely a little, I mean, if we're going to draw a line, it's a little out there.
Love breaking down this list, the top 500 albums of Rolling Stone, and lots of more traditional type artists. It was nice to see Miranda Lambert get some love at 480. And here's my theory. I think, and we just heard the new song a couple days ago from Miranda Lambert. It's about settling down. And ever since she got in the RV, I've liked her more. She seems more authentic, coming from a happier place. And for some reason, the music speaks to me now more than ever before.
It's an interesting dynamic that happened when her and Blake were together. They kind of took over the world, But even in their music, you can clearly, if you go back and kind of listen to it all over a timeline, you can tell where they started having trouble because their music all took a drastic turn. And then once they got through the divorce, Miranda put out The Weight of These Wings, which was a very heavy, deep, kind of dark album.
Yeah.
Because if you actually look at Vice, the song that everyone remembers from that album, it's a broken person telling the world how broken they are. But now they've both come out the other side. They've come out through their issues. Blake's literally singing about being happy anywhere. Miranda has moved on to a more positive, outlook in life. So that's the other great thing about country music and why I think it needs more representation in a list like this. It really is a timestamp of a time in your life and in the world that isn't always fully grasped in other genres of music. And again, country, whatever arguments folks might have about it, you know, you always hear about, oh, they have their own award shows. Yes, because nobody else pays attention. We kind of have to do it ourselves.
That's a good point.
You know?
Got to make our own party.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, if you get a chance, look at the top 500 albums. Reach out to us. I love being on Twitter, KSUX, Tony M. What's your favorite social media of choice there, Leroy?
I'm on all of them, just literally all of them. Leroy Show is all of them, except for Twitter, because some guy 10 years ago decided he was going to try to make his kid a Twitter star. So on Twitter, The Big Show 47.
Oh, The Big Show 47.
Yeah. I have no where that how that came to be a thing, but that's how that's a thing. But everywhere else, Leroy Show on social media. I love talking about this stuff. I'm fascinated by it. I want to talk about it all the time. So if you want to, hit me up. I love talking about this stuff.
Well, Leroy, keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you soon.
You as well, sir.
This has been the Nashville Outsiders Podcast. If there's a topic you think we should talk about, please let us know. Reach out to me, KSUX Tony M. You can also email Tony M at PowellBroadcasting.com.